Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You are listening to Preconceived, where we examine the preconceptions that shape how we view the world and the paradigms by which we live our lives.
Hey everybody, I'm Zayo Mednick, and welcome to another episode of Preconceived. Last year, I did a podcast episode about asexuality with Dr. Lori Brotto, a lead researcher in the field. She described findings from her research that shed light onto what it means to be asexual and to lack the feeling of both sexual and romantic attraction. Understandably, it's an experience that is very tough for many people to relate to, given the roles sex plays in society and in our lives. But it is a real experience, and one that challenges the preconceptions of love, romance, and connection. Today, I interview someone who identifies themselves as asexual. Aline Laurent Maillard has never been attracted to anyone, not sexually, not romantically. On her award-winning podcast, Free From Desire, they tell us how difficult it was to realize and accept their asexuality and their aromanticism in a society that only talks about exactly that, love and sex. This acceptance is what also allowed them to now have a child via artificial insemination. All right, Aline, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So this is an interesting episode because I did an episode about asexuality in the past, about a year and a half ago, maybe by the time this airs, with Dr. Lori Brotto, who's a researcher in this area. And she comes at it obviously from a different vantage point than you, because she's coming at it from the researcher perspective who researches asexuality, but you yourself identify as asexual. And you listened to the episode and you, first of all, wanted to come on the podcast, which I'm grateful for, but also you listened to the episode and had some feedback. And this is kind of a companion episode to an extent to that episode. And I'll put the link to that episode for those who haven't listened to it in these episode notes. If you haven't listened to it, that's okay. I'm sure this episode you will still get equal amount out of, but if we are referring to the previous episode and a guest is curious, you can just listen to the previous episode. Having said that, we're on to you, and I'm so excited to chat with you. And as I said in the introduction, it's something that a lot of people probably cannot relate to and don't fully understand, and those are some of my favorite topics to do on this show. So to start, you've spoken about how you've never really been attracted to anyone sexually or romantically. So what does that mean? And how did, tell me a little bit about your journey on how you came to discover that part of yourself, or maybe not discover even is the right word, but understand that part of yourself in a society that is so dominated by talk about sexuality and romantic connection.
Sure. I actually think discovery is a good term. Like, so when I was younger, I just thought that I was a bit different. I was like an odd kid. So I just thought, you know, maybe like I'm not falling in love or having any crush because I'm taking my time or because I'm odd. So I like the odds that I will find someone that is matching my oddness, you know, are very slim. So I'll just wait. And the more I waited, the more like it started to put me in a position of an outlier, and people started to look at me like I was broken in a way, or I felt like I was broken, just because when you're a teenager, it's already kind of shameful not to have done it, but like most people haven't done it. And since people don't really talk about sexuality, you don't really know what sexual desire is, what sexual attraction is. You don't really know what people are actually doing sex-wise. Like, so many lies, right? So many people just not talking about it. And so up until I was a teenager, it just didn't feel to me like there was something like inside of me that was really different. But the more I grew, you know, as I was getting older and getting really into like adulthood, then I could feel that people just couldn't understand why I hadn't had sex. And me, I knew that I just didn't feel the urge to. And that's probably what made me feel even worse. Is like, I had some friends who still hadn't had sex up until they were 22, 23. I was probably just a nerd hanging with nerds. But I could feel like even if they weren't talking much about sex, that it was something that was interesting to them. Whereas to me, it just, nothing was going on, you know, like there was no interest in sex. But the peer pressure, not in high school, but like really when I was studying, you know, like in university, the peer pressure at some point got the best of me. And so I was like, okay, I need to have sex. Even if I don't want to, you know, I put myself in that position of like, I need to have sex. Even if I'm not attracted to that person, because, you know, you need to have done it and then you can get better. And if I don't do it, then it's going to be an even bigger red flag than it is right now. And I will be in that loop like the 40-year-old virgin, you know, like if you miss the train, there's no way you can get back on the train. And if I want to be in a romantic relationship, I need to be able to have sex. Like, to me, the two were like completely linked. And so at some point I just like pushed myself to have sex just because I was curious about what sex was. Everybody was telling me it was the best thing. And because I just didn't want to have this red flag on me forever and everybody being like, what's wrong with her? It's a big part of like the asexual experience is people thinking that you are weird, like you must be socially inadequate, you have like a problem, you know, I don't know, like you can't ejaculate or something like that. People just assume a lot of things when you tell them that you've never had sex. They're trying to find the reason why, and they just cannot understand that the simple reason is that you just don't want to. You've never been in the situation where it felt appealing to you. Anyways, sex not working, like don't have sex if you're not attracted to the person and you don't want to have sex. It made things even worse, made me feel even more broken than before. And then at some point, I don't know how, but like I discovered asexuality. Like, I don't know if it was like a something on the radio or something I read on the internet, but at some point I read about it and it felt like a discovery to me. It was just like, oh, wow, there's a word that describes this experience and it's exactly mine. And it really felt like a uh-oh moment to me. Like, wow.
What a challenging experience. I mean, it's hard for everybody to navigate the world of sex and romance and to take such a long time to realize that, oh, you know what, I feel like I'm maybe just a late bloomer, or I'm sure I'm just somewhere on the spectrum of sexuality, but I need to accelerate it. Oh, yeah. And then only afterwards realize, wait a second, maybe I'm looking at the wrong path and I'm not on that same spectrum that a lot of people talk about.
I think one of the things that I found the most interesting, especially working on my podcast, Free From Desire, is the fact that this word, this concept, all the theory and the knowledge that we have that has been put together around asexuality was created by people, by ace people, you know, that had, contrary to me, they knew they were ace from the get-go. I mean, the way asexuality was created is internet started and, you know, like search engines. And then suddenly you had a bunch of people typing asexuality at the same time on the internet. They just had the feeling that this was the word that described them. You know, there was heterosexuality, homosexuality, they had nothing. So it must be asexuality. And all of them typed that word on the internet. They understood that they were not broken. They understood that they were not alone. They understood that they were not feeling attraction to someone else. And then they found each other and just started thinking about what it was and starting to understand together what they were feeling. Whereas me, I felt like, I didn't think I had something. I think I just thought that I was broken. You know, like it wasn't, I hadn't realized yet that I was something. You know, it's kind of hard to understand. And, you know, I'm also aromantic, meaning that I don't feel sexual attraction. I'm also agender. So there's a lot of things that I'm never understood that everybody understood naturally. You know, like I tend to say I don't have that emotional vocabulary in me. And it's really hard to explain the feeling when, like, you can't, like, lesbians and gays, they just know they're attracted to women or men. Like, sometimes they will go in denial, but then no, like, it's coming out of them. It's pulling them towards something. Whereas to me, it's the opposite. It's just...
It's a lack of a certain feeling it's a lack of a certain feeling as opposed to the positive of a certain feeling.
Okay, and that's where I disagreed with Dr. Laurie Bredo, because I don't... maybe I used to see it as a lack, but now I see it as an absence. It's just a variation of sexual attractions, you know? It's not something that's missing. It's not something that needs to be fixed. It's just the way it is, you know? Like, when it's not creating me any discomfort. I'm not missing feeling sexual attraction just because I've never felt it, and I don't feel like my life is bad, you know, because I don't have it in my life. It's just the way it is, and it doesn't need to be fixed. Yeah. The tough part is just the way people are looking at you and the pressure. And that's why it's sometimes hard to understand, you know, that you're asexual. If you haven't heard of it, like, I think it's completely different now. Like, most teenagers have heard of it. It's amazing. I love that. I'm so happy to see, like, really young teenagers saying, like, oh, yeah, I'm asexual. And maybe, you know, they're just, like, bloomers, whatever. Right now, it's what they need. Because just nobody talks about really what is sexual attraction. And it's a phenomenology issue. If you don't experience it,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
You cannot know what it is that other people are experiencing. So it takes a lot of time to realize what other people are experiencing, just because you don't have it. And I think for me, when ACE people, and especially Alice Osman, the writer who wrote Heartstopper and many other works, when she explained what sexual attraction was to like non-ACE, so allosexuals we call them, suddenly I understood that I wasn't feeling it, but nobody had explained to me exactly what was sexual attraction and how it was different to just being attracted to someone, I don't know, like physically, you just want to hug someone, or, you know, just the ambience, you know, is sexy. It's not, you know, like you're not attracted to someone. You're just like, ooh, this is like a sexy, like the lights and the music, everything is kind of groovy. Once you explain things, suddenly you can understand what you feel, you know?
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So there's a couple different elements of your experience that I want to try and understand better and for the listeners to understand better. You mentioned two concepts there. One is sexual desire, being asexual, and then one was aromantic. So let's start with asexual and sexual desire, so to speak. What does it mean to not have any sexual desire? Does that mean that you don't feel sexual urges in terms of things even like masturbation, for example? Or does that mean that you're just not sexually attracted to other people? Or is it a libido thing? What exactly does the no sex part mean to you?
Okay, so asexuality has nothing to do with sexual desire. Sexual desire is not something that is linked to asexuality. Asexuality is not feeling sexual attraction to someone.
Mm.
So you can have sexual desire, you know, like, again, I mentioned, you know, like maybe the situation is sexy, maybe on your TV show, there's like a lot of tension and you just love the tension, but you're not attracted to the people that you're looking at in your show. It's just, and just as the same way, sometimes you can just be excited, you know, have sexual desire, but you don't really know why. It's just, you know, maybe it's just like mechanical. It's just your body is just, you know, having urges or whatever. So there's a difference between sexual attraction and sexual desire. And I think deep down, everybody knows that because everybody has had sexual desires that were not linked to anyone, you know? And of course, it's also different from, you know, what your body is doing, which is arousal and all of that, which are not linked necessarily to your sexual desires. And I think what I like to say is that we have now reached a point where it's like, it's okay to have sex with someone you're not attracted to or you're not in love with, you know, like You can have sex because you're drunk out of your mind and you just want to have sex and you're taking the first person next to you. You know, it's okay. And there is no sexual attraction, but there is sexual desire because you're horny or whatever and you want to have sex and you pick that person, but you're not attracted to them. And that's also something that's important to understand, because asexuality doesn't mean no sexual practices, no sexual activities. You can have sex by yourself, masturbation. You can have sex with partners. And the reason is, even if you're not attracted to them, I'm taking that as an example. Asexuality is a spectrum. So some people do have little attraction, sometimes only to one person in particular, sometimes like depending on, I don't know, like the months or the year or whatever. But I'm just taking as an example throughout the conversation, the hypothesis that this person has no sexual desire, no sexual attraction at all. Okay, so you can have no sexual attraction to the person in front of you, but for so many reasons, you decide to have sex with them. You can go into sex because you want to know what it is. This is what I did, curiosity, because you want to get close to that person and it feels like a good way to be physically close to that person because you want to give that to that person, you know, like it's the gray zone of like, can you go into sex to please someone even though you're not attracted to them? When is it pressured? When is it not pressured? When is it enthusiastic? When is it not enthusiastic? And this is one of the things that is so interesting with asexuality. It brings a new light on all those topics. And so, yeah, so there are many reasons why you could have sex, even though you're not feeling sexually attracted to someone. Again, you can be just like completely drunk.
So for example, it's better to dissociate the idea of asexuality from sexual desire, because you can have sexual desire, you can have a desire to have an orgasm and derive pleasure from a sexual activity, whether it's with yourself or even if it is with somebody else who maybe you're not attracted to. But typically, I guess, asexuality means, and granted, it is a spectrum, as you've said, but typically, would I be right in saying you are able to derive sexual pleasure, but it usually does not come in the form of sexual attraction to another person?
Exactly. You don't get into sex activities because you're attracted to that person.
And is there a, this is a strong word, is there a repulsion to the opposite person that somewhat leads to that asexuality, that the idea of having sex with somebody else is a little bit gross or something you're not into? Or is it more just a lack of interest in that?
An absence of interest.
Absence of interest in that.
Again, this is something that is not discussed much, but it's yet another spectrum. I mean, everything is spectrums in life, basically. But you get people that are very sex enthusiastic, like they're not sexually attracted to anyone, but they like to have sex. And you have people on the other part of the spectrum who are completely repulsed. Like the idea of having sex is just making them uncomfortable. Some people actually say they can't watch people having sex on the television. Like this is something that makes them feel very uncomfortable. And it's some people, you can assume that it is the result of how they were treated as ace, especially because, and that's something that I studied, but in French, is sexual violence against ace are very common. And there's an episode about it in my podcast with someone.
And sorry, I'm just going to pause you. For those who don't know what ace is, because you've mentioned it a few times, what is ace? I know what it is, but that's from only from researching this topic a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, ace is just a shorthand for asexuals. It's like homo for homosexuals.
Okay.
But without the like no homo part. Like it's just like what we use us in the community.
Yes.
And yeah, so it can be the result of trauma, especially sexual violence, because we are very at risk. We're one of the population the most at risk of sexual violence. But some people say that they've always been like that. Like they've been repulsed way before anything happened to them. So we don't really know why there are some people that are repulsed and some people that are not, but it's just the way it is, a multitude of profiles, you know.
Let's talk about the aromantic aspect of it, because it sounds from what you said like they are linked, but not necessarily linked. For some people, there might be asexual but romantic, meaning they do crave a romantic relationship connection. For some people, they might be asexual and aromantic, as you mentioned at the beginning, where they don't have a desire to have sex with another person, and they also don't have a desire to have a romantic relationship. Or maybe I'm wrong. Tell me
what... desire, as much as it is, we don't feel romantically attracted. Like, gotcha. Most of us start in life wanting to be in a romantic relationship. This is, you know, that everybody's been telling us that this is the biggest love we can have. Like, your life is not complete if you don't have like a love story, as if there's only one kind of love. Like, the love story has to be romantic. Love is romantic. There is nothing else that counts in this world. So when you grow up like that, you desire a romantic relationship. You just cannot feel it. You know, it's something that I've never felt. It's something that I never quite understand. Like, I mean, I've seen many love stories on TV. I'm a big fan of all rom-coms. Like, I know what it feels like theoretically. But when it comes to me, I cannot say that I felt it. I felt a lot of different attractions to people, but they were all somehow on the friendship model, you know? They were a bit different, but not romantic. I can't say that I felt something different from someone than I felt from like other people.
So some people might be thinking, okay, so that's maybe a conscious choice in the extent where somebody, and I don't think this is what you're saying, but somebody might be saying, this sounds like a conscious choice where I can live my life on, not on my own, that you're alone just because you're not in a relationship, but just for ease of language, I don't need to be in a partnership, so to speak, a romantic partnership to feel complete. And I've decided that I don't want to do that. I want to kind of stay solo in that regard. But it sounds more to me, the way you're talking, it's not just a conscious choice. It's more just the absence of a feeling of wanting to have that romantic relationship. So how do you view that in terms of...
Yeah, it's not an absence of feeling of wanting that relationship. It's not an absence of romantic attraction. I've wanted most of my life to be in love. It just never came. I've dated, I've been in relationships. It just, after months and months, there were just the link that I had, the relationship, the attraction that I had for my partner just wasn't changing. You know, it wasn't going into the in love stage, you know what I mean? And so there is a part about deciding, you know, like being, doing something like conscious, doing something voluntarily. It is the part where you say, I'm going to stop trying. I mean, some people never tried, don't get me wrong, but I think those are the minority. Most people, because they didn't know that it was possible to live a life without a romantic love, you know, without being in a romantic couple. Most of people that I know that are aromantic have tried. It just never worked for them. And then suddenly you're like, okay, now it is my decision that I'm going to stop trying because it is not working. And I think many aromantic and asexual people have been in romantic couples and sexual relationships without even ever feeling that attraction, and probably without even realizing that they weren't feeling that attraction. You know, it's like all those people coming out as gay or lesbians in their 50s, you know, like they've been in relationship, they've been married for 20 years. That didn't stop them from being lesbians and gay. They just forced themselves into those romantic relationships. And I guess it's the same with aromantic. You can be aro, as we say for short. We love short words. You can be aro and force yourself to be in a relationship, or you can just say, no, this is my decision. I'm going to step outside of that rigged game. And this is actually, I just wanted to take the time to go back to asexuality for just a second, because I think before you mentioned your lack of sexual desire, blah, 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 hormones, libido, all of that, there are a lot of different reasons why you don't feel sexual attraction to someone. It can be because you're ace. It can also be just because you're like, for whatever reason, maybe you're tired, maybe you have hormonal issues or whatever, and then suddenly your libido is just lowering, and then you just don't feel anything, and so you don't feel sexual attraction anymore either. So just wanted to make clear that, you know, there are many reasons why you may not feel sexual desires. There might be a lot of different reasons why you may not have sex. Maybe it's because you're ace and don't want to force yourself. Maybe it's because you took a vow. Maybe it's because you think that not having sex is going to be better for your sport performances or whatever there are. Maybe because you hate men now, which is like a very valid answer. There are many, many reasons. So again, it's not so much asexuality and aromanticism, just like any sexual orientations. Don't really say anything about how you live your life. It just talks about how you feel, like, in general in your life.
You spoke before about how you've tried, so to speak, and you've been in relationships, and then you realize, no, I'm just not feeling that romance. I'm not feeling that attraction. And I wonder how challenging it is for you to get to a point where you say, is it just the person that I just haven't found? I hate the word the one. We've done episodes on that, but I haven't found that one person that I'm attracted to and I need to keep on looking, or no, I'm just not going to be attracted to anyone. Is it the kind of thing where you never really have felt the desire to kiss somebody before, or to, was there enough evidence before those relationships to kind of put the puzzle together and say, not only am I not attracted to multiple partners I've had, but I've also just not felt that sexual attraction. So I'm pretty convinced at this point, whenever you decided that, yeah, this is more than just, I haven't found the right person.
Yeah. In my podcast and whenever I do interviews, I always try to make sure that people understand that my journey is not the universal journey for ace. You know, it is very personal. And for me, it was just reaching my 30s. And I've had a denial phase about asexuality. I think I discovered asexuality when I was 25. And I was so frightened that this would mean I would be single forever. And at the time, I just wasn't there yet on the, like, you can live single and your life is going to be great. So I was into that denial phase. And then, but it was still working, you know, like in the back, you know, in my mind, like I was still like processing it very slowly. And just after a while, I was just like, this is it. Like, you've been in relationships with people that were perfect for you and you didn't feel anything. And the more I started, there was enough proof, you know, at some point you're just like, it's not gonna happen now. Like, I've done enough work. Like, it's just not gonna happen. And I don't think I would have accepted it if there wasn't already so much work from the ACE community that got me to understand, you know, everything that I mentioned before, like the difference between sexual attraction, sexual desire, between wanting, like having had sex and sometimes enjoying it, and like, again, being sexually attracted. So many, like, everything that the ACE community has said was like just helping me see what was happening, plus all those years of trying and not, you know, not feeling anything sexually. But in my podcast, there's a whole episode about how the community helped me, but also how it was born. And again, I talked a lot about people who just knew, like they just knew. They were like 12 and they knew. And this is still something that's happening. And I think this is so amazing that some people have such a good knowledge of themselves.
But it's also great that there's this community now where there's a validation for people like yourself, for example, who did not just know, and it took you a longer time, and then you discover this, and you're like, oh, and I think labels can be good, I think labels can be bad, but in this case, call it a label, call it whatever, but having that community and research out there and an understanding of what it is can really help somebody who is struggling to understand themselves and their feelings.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think that if I had that label, that community, that knowledge when I was a teenager, or at the very least, like in my 20s, like I think exactly when I was 20, I started to look on the internet, like trying to find a sexual orientation that that fit me. If I had found a sexuality at that time, and if I had like understood, because there was more knowledge about it in society at large, you know, I don't think I would have put me through so many difficult situations. You know, like I really had a hard time at some point just like going through sexual intercourses with people that were kind of violent, not physically, but like emotionally. I wouldn't have tried to date for so long. It's so annoying to date. Like I hate it. It just takes so much time. It's like an emotional roller coaster. It takes time. It's tiring. I hate it. I wish I didn't do that. Honestly, like it was just too much. So yeah.
You mentioned earlier on that you at some point wanted to have a partner and you didn't want to be single. How has that changed, or has that changed? Is there part of you that's frustrated because you didn't want to be solo, so to speak? And I don't like that word solo, because you're not solo. You've got a whole network of friends and family, I'm sure. But you know what I mean. Is there a part of you that is sad and wish it wasn't that case, given that you did still have that desire at some point to have a partner?
I think the desire to have a partner, if you look at my history, you know, 36, that period of me wanting a partner was actually quite short. It just, when I look back at it now, I'm just like, it was just peer pressure. It was just me not having any other models of how to live your life outside of the couple. And getting into the queer community, you know, before I identified as ace, I identified as bi or pansexual, and I've been in queer relationships. So being in the queer community really helped me see that there were so many other ways to live your lives. And it just helped me make peace with what I've always knew that I wanted or that I was going to be. So what is very interesting is that when I was a teenager, I used to have dreams about having a kid. And in all of those like daydreams, I would always like make scenarios of how I could put my hands on a kid, so to say. I was just like, I'm not like, I, you know, I was 17. So I was just like, I'm not going to have sex. Like, this is insane. So how am I going to have a kid as a teenager? Not that I wanted to have a kid as a teenager, but I just think I like the idea of being able to have a kid, you know, somehow. And so I always made like those crazy stories of like, adopting a kid, or like a kid looking for a parent was just having a crush on me and like, can you be my parent? Or like a friend of mine who had a kid would die and I will get the kid. Like I had no friends who had kids. Like I was 17. So when I look back at that time, when I was like daydreaming about having a kid, in all the scenarios, I was single. And so I think that deep down, I've always known that I was aromantic. Clearly, I've always known that I was asexual too. Like there are many proofs, many writings of mine as a teenager that make that very clear. But it just took me a long time to realize it. For a while though, I was angry. I'm not gonna lie, I was angry because I was just like, why do things have to be so different and hard for me? Like some people just, you know, they just fall in love, have sex. They stay with the same person their whole lives. And me, I just get like the one sexual and romantic attraction that no one knows, that no one, you know, understands. It took me so long to understand who I was. And so my journey is already like mentally hard enough, emotionally hard enough. And on top of that, everything is more complicated when you're single. Housing, you know, like going on holidays, all of that is just way more expensive because you're single. And the logistics of it, like if you live alone in your apartment, you cannot, I don't know, put like a lamp on the ceiling. This is not something you can do by yourself. You have to have someone else holding it and everything. Like IKEA furniture, again, you cannot do it by yourself. So every time that I want to do something, you know, I have to make sure that someone can come and help me. And this is like, this is just one of the many examples that makes single life more complicated. And so at some point in my life, I was angry. I know, and now I'm not so much angry just because I fucking love being single and I'm so happy and I have a kid and it's just the best. And I'm also writing a book about how to make things different for people who don't feel like the romantic couple is good for them. So I feel like I'm proactive now. So that also does really help, I guess.
Well, I mean, this episode is really what this show is all about, Preconceived and challenging the status quo in terms of the decisions we make, but also in terms of things that are taken for granted as this is the typical way you move through life. This is the typical way you're supposed to feel.
The natural way.
And hearing a story like yours and knowing there's so many other people with your stories is incredible. And these are some of my favorite episodes to do. You mentioned before that obviously within the ace community and people who identify as asexual, that it's a spectrum. Do you think that it is a separate entity though, that spectrum, from people who maybe are in relationships and who are sexual, but maybe can relate to some of what you're saying? Because I would imagine there's people who are very happy in relationships, who are in romantic relationships and sexually active with partners, who are listening to what you're saying and saying, I don't identify with that, but I could also see a situation where, yeah, maybe I don't crave romance or sex as much as somebody on the other end of the spectrum who really, really is like romantic in the classic sense.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's why we are very into our spectrum concept. You know, it's just there are some people who really feel nothing and some people who do feel some things, and we have words to describe people who are on that, somewhere on the spectrum, you know, like for example you got gray sexual or gray romantic, so they feel it, but like it depends. Rarely, like it depends on the situation. You got demisexual and demiromantic, meaning they can only feel sexual attraction or romantic attraction to people that they've already established a strong link with, you know, a strong bond. But these are just concepts. Like there are no way to measure it, to define it, to put it on the cursor. It's just up to anyone to decide what identity feels the best for them. And before I identified as fully asexual, I identified as demisexual, because I think it was just too frightening. And I thought that as demisexual, there was still a chance that I could be in a romantic relationship. I thought it was like less frightening to other people. And often when I would explain that to people, those people would be like, well, you're just describing something that's normal. Like, this is how I feel. This is like normal. And a few months after that, they would come to me and like, I think actually I'm demisexual. It just, you know, it just clicked for them. Like they thought they were the norm because your way of feeling is the only way you know, you know, it's just, you can't feel for someone else. And just getting to understand that there was a word just helped me realize everything that was a bit different for them. And suddenly having that term just helped them explain better how they felt, maybe to their partners, if they had partners, or to their friends, or to themselves. And so, yeah, it is a spectrum. And I have no clue, you know, what demisexual means. Like, I have a friend who's only ever felt sexual attraction and sexual and romantic attraction for one guy in her whole life. And if I say that to some people, they will be like, well, that's normal. I've only been in love with my husband, for example. And maybe that person is demisexual and doesn't know it or doesn't care about it. Like, they don't feel, you know, that it's an issue for them. And in that case, maybe they don't need a word. Like, if they don't feel like they need a word, they don't need a word. And maybe they're not demisexual. Maybe they're like, we don't have the same ways. Like, for example, what we say as ace, we usually say that not having sexual attractions also means not having sexual attraction for stars or people in movies or for, you know, randos in the street, but it also means, for example, usually, and that's something that Dr. Laurie Bredow talked about in the episode she did with you, it's like when you have sex dreams, you're not, or when you masturbate, you just don't see anyone. It's just blank. You see a situation, but there's no faces because you're not attracted to anyone. So like, it's just blanked. And so someone can say, I've only been in love with my husband, but they've also had sexual, you know, attraction to, I don't know, like Brad Pitt.
Dr. Bredow did mention that when people, because I asked, what do people think about when masturbating? And she said, it really varies. She said, sometimes nothing. She said, sometimes they might be thinking about Dungeons and Dragons. They might be thinking about a piece of art or a symphony. Is that something you can relate to, or people in the ACE community can relate to? Did you feel like that was accurate?
So I never masturbated, never felt the urge to masturbate up until I was in a serious relationship with a person with a vagina, and I felt like I need to understand what's going on because I'm freaking out. I don't know what to do with hers. So I started like to look into mine, and I actually went and used an app to understand, you know, what it was, how people felt. And after that, I started to do it as like a stress release tool. But it's kind of tough. Like sometimes I would use images that, you know, we see a lot on the planet, like that we see all the time. Like I would just picture someone with like big boobs in a swimsuit, even though that is not something that I'm like at all attracted to. Just I didn't know what else to think about. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I would just not think about anything. But I rarely do it. Just it's not something that comes naturally to me. And I also did an episode in my podcast, like the sex episode, you know, like I asked a few people, a few ace, what was their sex lives. And I think all the scenarios that Dr. Laurie Bredow mentioned, I've heard them all during that episode. Like there was something that's excited about, I think it was listening to jazz or like some weird music. There's someone who's like masturbating every day and never picturing anything in her head. There was something who never did it either. So it really depends a lot. And you just do whatever you need to do in a way, you know, and based on the tools that we have. And I think that's so fascinating how we think sexual desire and sexual attractions are just natural. Like you're naturally straight or gay. You're naturally attracted to blondes or, you know, fat girls, you know, big girls. But in reality, all of that is shaped by your history, your experiences, and what our society is telling you is exciting. And when I see what I go to, when I want to get excited, because usually I just don't feel anything. And I'm like, I'd like to be horny. How can I do that? It like last time I managed to do that, it was fun. So you get to things that are not what you want to get to. It's just the only scenario that you have. And it's the same with romantic attraction. Our culture creates, put in our heads, like it's inception, you know, like the media that we consume creates attractions in our heads, and then we just reproduce it. And if we have different models, then suddenly you can think about things in a different way. And I think that's why I worked a lot on media representation, because I think that if we have more ace representation, if we have more aero representation, then suddenly it opens the door to just seeing the world in a different light. And the more you see it, because like for now, we just see it like occasionally for asexuality, aromanticism, we see it never, never, ever. It just like, it doesn't happen. But for asexuality, you see it sometimes. And for now, it's just like exceptions to the rules, to the rule. But like when we'll have more of it in a more representative way, because like there are a lot of people that are ace. And the more time is going to pass, the more we're going to have ace people. We can see that, like, as soon as people hear that asexuality exists, they're starting to put it in their software. And then some of them will be like, actually, it's me. I can see it now. Like, now I can just look back and I realize who I've been this whole time. So we're going to have more and more ace people. And the more we have it in the media, the more people are going to include that in their fantasy, I guess, you know, in a way.
Wow. So, so interesting and so, so important to just get that message out there, because like you said, it's challenging an experience that everybody thinks they should be having. And it just gets people better understanding themselves, better understanding different trajectories they can take in their lives and not just following a set template, because that's really all we're used to knowing. Aline, do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave the listeners with?
Having this discussion about asexuality and aromanticism is very important, because in my experience, it helps everybody. It helps, of course, ace and aros, and that's why who I'm doing it for in the first place. But just getting to understand that everything is a social construct in a way, that nothing is like heterosexuality is not normal. You know, it's just one variation, that things are just not fixed. They're fluid in time, and like everything is a spectrum. It and the conversation that it creates also around consent and enthusiastic consent, and how to make sure that everybody having sex is into it. I think that's helping everybody, but mostly it is one of the tools that can destroy patriarchy. I'm using big words here, but basically patriarchy is based on the idea that everybody's naturally straight and having sex. You know, it's all linked to that, like having kids, you know, sex to have kids, and then raising them together, and then making sure that the money, the resources stay in the family because you have people to inherit and everything. All of that just explodes as soon as you realize that sex is not natural, that romance is not natural. Suddenly you can have more and more people who can be single, who can be happy to be single, or choose to be in platonic relationship, or who can decide that you don't need to be in love to organize, like maybe they would want to spend their lives like caring for their parents or their siblings. And all of that is very subversive, and it's really one way to bring it down, because suddenly women are not helpers of men, they're not dependent on men, and that is what will bring down patriarchy. So I'm not saying, you know, like everybody be ace, this will destroy patriarchy, but it is one of the things that we need to think of to understand that patriarchy is really a social construct that is polluting our minds and preventing us from reaching like more happy and equalitarian lives. So yeah, that was my big speech.
I think that's a very great big speech, and I love how you said it. It's relatable to everyone in some way, because it makes you question the way things are. And everybody has relationships, friendships, or romantic relationships, sexual relationships, non-sexual relationships, and just questioning the idea of, well, what is natural? And that helps everybody, even if they don't relate to the idea of ace, question, okay, well, the relationship I'm in, why am I in the relationship I'm in? And is the way I conduct my relationship okay? Is it natural? Am I subscribing to norms? Is this what I genuinely want? And this kind of topic brings up those questions for people to explore, whether it's related to sexuality or not. It's something that's important for everybody to examine for themselves and not just take as, well, that's what it is, that's what it's supposed to be. So Aline, thank you so much for joining me. Where can people learn more about you and learn about your podcast?
Yeah, so you can listen to my podcast. It's called Free From Desire, and it's on all platforms. And you can follow me on Instagram. This is where I'm mostly at now that Twitter is X. You can follow me there. My name is Yella Aline. It's maybe you'll just find the spelling in the...
I will put it in the episode notes.
And yeah, that's it.
Great. Well, Aline, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you again. It was really a great conversation.
And thank you everybody for listening to another episode of Preconceived. Have a great day. Thank you.
glasses or want a fresh new style, Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.